So last time I told you that God lives in the third heaven. He sits on his throne in the third heaven. And I told you that there is a pattern of the house of God in the third heaven, in the tabernacle of God. He sits in the holy of holies in the third heaven, surrounded by the creatures, the cherubims. Okay. And the construction of the holiest of all, that is the place he resides in. Then there are heavenly priests that minister. You know Melchizedek, who was not born of a human being, he came from heaven. He was a priest. So there is priestly ministry going on in the heavenlies, in the heavens of heaven. That is the third heaven where God sits. So there is the holy place, there is the most holy place, there is the outer courts. And that is the structure of God's dwelling in the in reality, in the realms of the spirit. Hallelujah. That is the structure that he revealed to Moses. And Moses built exactly as per the instructions that were given to him. And the Bible says when Moses obeyed all the instructions of God that were given to him, the glory of the Lord came in the most holy place of the tabernacle that he built, that Moses built. And that is the pattern God had in his mind when he was creating man, when he was creating Adam. Hallelujah. He said, I want to create Adam for me to dwell inside of the most holy place. So he created man in body, soul, and spirit. The spirit being resembling the most holy place of the tabernacle. God made that innermost being of a human being for him to stay inside of him. And Adam was created with the spirit of the Lord inside of him, governing him inside of his spirit. Eve was created in the same way. That is what God wanted man to carry his indwelling presence of his Holy Spirit. How wonderful is that? How wonderful is that? This mighty God, this God who made the heavens and the earth, who lives in a dimension of fire and light where no man can approach, and he decides to make you and me in a pattern where he can reside exactly as he resides in the most holy place. How wonderful is that? Just think about it when I think about it. So the structure of man is a mystery. The way he created us as a tabernacle in which he will dwell. And that is called the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. But you know, I told you that Adam and Eve sinned, and the sin was basically and simply the sin was we do not need the Spirit of God with us. We want our own decisions. We can decide for good and bad. And that's why the Spirit of God, which was governing them, left them when they declared independence from the Spirit of God, listening to the serpent, listening to the devil. And from that time, what Jeremiah says, man's heart became exceedingly wicked above all. Hallelujah. Whether you are born a Christian, whether you are born a Catholic, you are born an Anglican Christian, you are born a Hindu, you are born a Muslim, you are born in any background, your heart will be wicked. No man is good. Everyone is a sinner. Do you know that? No man is good. Don't believe those preachers who come and say to you, oh, you know, everyone is good. Everyone is good. That is false. The Bible says we all are sinners and fallen short of the glory of God because our heart is without the Spirit of God. And only by a person believing in the finished work of the cross that Jesus died for them on the cross can that blood, through the belief and confession, can sanctify the innermost being for the Spirit of God to again come and dwell inside of a person. That is why Jesus died for us, so that's why he said, I am going. Unless I go, the Holy Spirit, the helper, would not come. So that is the meaning of that unless Jesus completes his mission, that is dying on the cross and going back, and I told you, breaking the veil of death and going into the most holy place with his blood, the Holy Spirit cannot be released to those who believe in Jesus. So when you believe in Jesus, you are born again, and you are born again by the Spirit of God. That is the meaning of John chapter number 3, where Jesus told Nicodemus, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless the person is born of the Spirit and of water. And Nicodemus said, what are you saying, Rabbi? Can a person go again inside the mother's womb and come out again? That is the meaning of born again. Jesus said, no, I am talking about born again by the Spirit, the birthing and the receiving of the Holy Spirit inside their innermost being. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? That was the plan of God from the beginning. When Adam and Eve sinned, he wanted again to dwell. What he is interested, he is so much interested in you. Listen to me. He is so much interested to dwell in you that he sent his own son to die for you. That's his intensity of his of he wants to dwell inside of you. You see, God, more than we are interested, God is so desiring and so interested to live inside of us and to speak to us and to lead us and to guide us. The Holy Spirit is so much interested. More than we want the Holy Spirit, he wants us more than we want him. You need to realize that. And that's why the Son of God manifested in the flesh to die for us, so that we can live a life that is above the power of sin and death by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Are we understanding until now? Let me give you some verses. Romans chapter number 2. I had a little bit to cover last time, so I will cover that and go into a very important dimension and revelation of the Holy Spirit. So let us continue to learn and hear about him. Let's first go to Romans chapter number 2. Hallelujah. Romans chapter number 2, verse number 25. Let us read from verse number 25 onwards. Verse number Romans 2:25. For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an circumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. Apostle Paul is speaking to the Jewish people and clearing out the concept of circumcision. He is telling them that the real circumcision is not that happens with your flesh. Hallelujah. A real Jew is not that one who is outwardly a Jew, and the real circumcision is not that of the flesh. What is the real circumcision? Verse number 29. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly. How inwardly? And circumcision that is of the heart, that is sanctification of the innermost being by the blood of Jesus, and then in the spirit and not in the letter, then the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God and not of a letter that you determine by your mind, I have 10 scriptures, I have to follow all the scriptures. No, you cannot obey the law by your mind and by your determination. You need the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So circumcision, I hope that people are not getting circumcised here. Amen. So there is no need of physical circumcision in the flesh, because the circumcision we have received is that by the blood of Jesus, which has circumcised our innermost being for the Holy Spirit to find a inhabitation inside of our hearts, inside of our spirit. Okay, so that is what Apostle Paul is talking. Circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not of the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you have to understand, Christians, we are not We are not led by point number one, point number two, point number three, this law, that law, we have to do this, do's and don'ts. No, we are children of God by the fact that His Spirit dwells inside of us, and we are not by the led by the body or by the soul, but we are led by His Spirit that dwells inside of us. A Spirit-led life is a life that overcomes sins and defeats sin. Okay, hallelujah. Many churches even now are based on the Old Testament. They depend on the laws of God, but the life of the New Testament is the life of the Spirit. Jesus is the life-giving Spirit. Jesus is the second Adam that brought the life-giving Spirit of God. If you know the Bible by heart, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of your innermost being, you cannot obey the Bible, even though you know it by heart. Even if you are a scholar of the Bible, you cannot please God if you don't have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, because the circumcision that is needed in the New Testament is the circumcision by the blood of Christ of the heart, so that the Spirit can find an inhabitation inside of our heart and dwell inside of our heart. Lead us. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit is what is needed in every Christian's life. Are we understanding until now? Let's go to another Old Testament verse, Jeremiah chapter number 31. Jeremiah chapter number 31. Verse number 33 and 34. See what God says here. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. Where will the law go? I will write the laws on the heart, in the innermost being. How can that happen? Tell me. Only by the Holy Spirit. Only by the Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit called? The Spirit of Truth. That truth comes and dwells inside our innermost being. That we are not trying to determine ourselves, oh, I want to follow Jesus, I want to read the word, I don't want to sin. We are not determining by flesh, but our nature has become the nature of God automatically. We have to come to a point where the flesh has no power and the Spirit has all control. So automatically by nature, we start to do the things of God. That is the will of God for every Christian. You know, we have to tell people of God, come to the meeting, read the Bible, meditate on God's word, pray every day, pray in the Spirit, remind them the doctrines, give to the Lord, all those things. We don't have to remind Christians if they understand that the Spirit of God dwells inside of them and their nature is not the nature that they inherited from Adam, but the nature is the nature of God Himself that they have inherited from the Spirit with which they are born again. Hallelujah. Amen. If I love to play football, my mother does not has to tell me, Rahul, go and play football. When the clock is ticking 6 o'clock in the morning, I will disappear from my home and I will be found on the football ground playing football because I love football. It's in my passion and it's in my nature. So my mother does not have to force me go and play football. That is what the Holy Spirit does. It makes us, it brings the nature of God in us. It writes the laws of God, not on a book, but the book on which the laws of God are supposed to be written is your heart, is your spirit. That is the right place for the laws of God to dwell. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I have an amen? The Lord says, you know, in one of the verses, it says, hallelujah, Psalm chapter number, I think that is the verse. So let me see that. Chapter number 12. Yes, chapter number 12. It says verse number 6 and 7. So, Psalm chapter number 12, verse number 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. You shall keep them, O Lord. You shall preserve them from the generations forever. And once I was asking the Lord, Lord, the Bible says that you shall keep your word and you will preserve your word. But where you will keep it, where you will preserve it? He said, inside your heart, inside of you, I will preserve my word, keeping it inside, hallelujah, of your spirit, man, keeping it inside of your heart and preserve it for the generations to see and witness my word. That is the refrigerator where the Lord, your heart is the refrigerator where God preserves his word and keeps his word to be fresh. How? By his Holy Spirit. So do we understand that this plan of God was from the beginning? Because he told to Jeremiah that this is his covenant, that he will write his laws and give his laws inside of the heart. And then in 34 it says that no one has to teach his neighbor saying, know the Lord, because they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. So the New Testament church, you got to understand the pattern of the New Testament church, that everyone is supposed to have the Spirit of God inside of them. Everyone is supposed to have the revelation of God's word inside of them. Everyone. In the Old Testament, if you want to know the counsel of God, you have to go to a prophet. There is no other way. You have to go to a prophet and ask, you know, I lost my donkeys. Where are my donkeys? You know, that is what they used to do. They never had any connection with God through the law. The connection with God was established through the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of a blood-washed Christian when the heart is sanctified. So the New Testament, the prophetic ministry is to train people's hand in spiritual warfare, is to train them as watchmen. That is the prophetic ministry, is to expose darkness. It's not to handle the teeny weeny issues of people's life. There is no water coming in my tap, Prophet Rahul. Please inquire of the Lord, where has the water gone? That is what used to happen in the Old Testament. But you have the Holy Spirit, my brother, in you, and I am not supposed to spoon feed you. Otherwise, I take the place of the Holy Spirit in your life, and I never want to do that as a prophet. Hallelujah. There is the setting of the New Testament is different. What I need to do is introduce you to the personality of the Holy Spirit. What I will do as a prophet is introduce you to the revelation and the mysteries of the Word of God so that you will have the idea, you will have the pattern of how you need to hear from God. That is what I help you with. But the job you have to do, I will not do it for you always. Every believer shall know the God, know the Lord from the least to the greatest, because the Holy Spirit has been given in our hearts. Even as I'm speaking to you, the Holy Spirit, I want to tell you, is dwelling inside of you. Today, tonight, you need to recognize the Holy Spirit who can speak to you. Hallelujah. And we will come to that. He will speak to you as becoming the helper. The helper, the Holy Spirit. There is a very deep revelation of the helper, the Holy Spirit. That is what I am going to cover tonight. But let us go, let me cover some points that are pending. So that is what is the plan of God from the Old Testament, that he wanted to make a covenant. What kind of covenant? Of giving the Holy Spirit inside of a person. Okay, that was the intention of the Jehovah God to do, that he wanted the Holy Spirit to dwell inside of a person. You know, I spoke about the three manifestation that happened when Jesus died on the cross. I told you from the scripture, I'm not going back there. From the scripture, I told you when Jesus died, immediately he did not went to the underworld. Where he went is was the third heaven. He yielded up his spirit to God. And when he went back to God, he went with his blood that is shed on the cross. And the veil of the temple in heaven was broken, and a way was open for people to directly communicate with God and the Holy Spirit to be released. That was the first manifestation that happened in the third heaven. The second manifestation of what happened in the heavenly realms happened in the temple of Jerusalem. The veil was broken and torn apart. That was the second manifestation, and the third manifestation that happened was to the hearts of who believed on Jesus. Their hearts, the veil on the heart was torn apart. They were sanctified. Those who would believe on in the sacrifice, in the finished work of Jesus on the cross, and they would receive the Holy Spirit inside of the innermost being. Those are the three manifestations that happened when Jesus died on the cross. Okay, the same thing, a picture, a similitude of that thing happened when Elijah sacrificed on the mountain of Carmel. Remember that story? I don't want to go into that. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 18. Elijah sacrificed on the mountain. What happened? The fire of God came down on the sacrifice and took up the sacrifice. Signifies God received Jesus as a sacrifice. When that happened, what happened is the demonic powers of Baal and Ashtoreth were blocking the realms of the spirit in order for the glory of God to be hindered to come on Israel. So when he sacrificed, that veil of darkness was broken in the heavenly realms. Listen to me very carefully. That veil of darkness was broken in the heavenly realms, and that's why the fire came, broke that veil, and took the sacrifice. That is first manifestation. The second manifestation that happened is, you know, Elijah after that got authority to kill the prophets of Baal and Ashtoreth. So the veil of protection, the dark protection over the prophets of the false god was broken, and Elijah could kill them. That is the second manifestation. The third manifestation, what happened was everyone shouted, Jehovah is God, he is Lord, after the fire came. The veil on their hearts were broken, and they got convicted that the Lord is the only God and not Baal and Ashtoreth. The Spirit of God entered and pierced their heart. Before that, Elijah was trying to convince them. Oh, you know, if Baal is God, worship him. But if Jehovah is God, worship him. Do not waver in two opinions. And the people did not answer a word, the Bible says. Why? Because they did not. They were in two opinions. They were also having the opinion, maybe Baal is God. They were not convicted in their hearts that only Jehovah is God. Are we understanding? Three manifestations, the same thing that happened when Jesus died on the cross. Hallelujah. So three manifestations, one in the heavenly realm, one in the earthly realm, and one in the spirits of people. Elijah that time did not have to preach to people, believe in the Lord. They shouted with conviction, Jehovah is God. He is God and no other God. You see that? What the Holy Spirit also does is, when he convicts the heart of a person, when he comes inside the heart of a person, he witnesses Jesus. Oh my God. We human beings cannot witness Jesus. Do you know that? The Holy Spirit is the evangelist. He is the witness of Jesus. Can I have an amen? Hallelujah. I will come to that. I have not yet arrived at that part. That is what happened. The three manifestation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The three manifestations of what happened in the heavenly realm when Elijah sacrificed and the fire came. In the earthly realm, the demonic veil of protection over the prophets were broken, and then the heart. Exactly what happened when Jesus yielded up his spirit to God on the cross. The same thing happened when Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, but God told him, wait, I have tested you, I have found you faithful. And then the ram was sacrificed. The heavenly realms opened. Okay, hallelujah. And Abraham was convicted. He said, he named the place, what? The Lord is my provider. The Lord is my provider, he said. He got a revelation of God that he did not know. The Lord provides. The Lord provides. And then the next thing that happened is a blessing was released upon him. Three manifestation again. Whenever a sacrifice, so what the ram that was offered by Abraham signified Jesus Christ. Then the animal, the bull that was offered by Elijah, signified Jesus Christ. And the real manifestation of it happened when on the cross. And the three manifestations were same in all the sacrifices. Are we understanding? Amen. The Spirit of God started to work when the sacrifice was offered up to God. I have explained those things in detail in the dimensions of the fire of God in all the sermons, in the revelation of a perfect sacrifice. So I'm not going to cover those things, but I am teaching you what happened when Jesus died on the cross. These all things happened when Jesus died on the cross. Many people have doubts. You know, Jesus told one of the thieves that believed in him, he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." So they speculate, what is paradise and this and that. It's very simple. Jesus went to the third heaven when he died, breaking with his blood, breaking the veil of death, going into the Holy of Holies. And that is what he promised to this thief who believed in the Lord Jesus, that you will go with me. Hallelujah. When I break the veil, you will also die. You will also enter with me to go there to meet with God because you repented. Hallelujah. One day everything will change. Our bodies will change. Everything will change. And we will be taken up to that place because of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, because of what he did for us. And he released the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that we will go with him when he appears. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding? The Holy Spirit is a guarantee, a seal of redemption, that we are supposed to keep him. We are supposed to not grieve him and keep him, that he would not go. Cast me not away from thy presence, O God, and do not take your Holy Spirit away from me. Whatever righteous work I do, I go and preach the gospel. I have crusades preaching to 1,000 people. But on the day of redemption, if the Lord does not find the Holy Spirit dwelling in me, I have grieved the Holy Spirit and he has left me, I will not go with him. The works do not matter. What matters is, do you have the seal of redemption in your spirit? Amen. Hallelujah. Are we understanding until now? Those were the manifestations, my God, that happened when Jesus was taken up, similar to what when Elijah sacrificed and Abraham sacrificed. Are we ready to go into tonight's topic? Holy Spirit, the helper. Holy Spirit, the helper. Let us go back now. John chapter number 14. Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter number 14. So I cleared every sentences in John chapter number 14, verse 16 and 17. I explained every sentence there. What is the meaning of each and everything about the Holy Spirit? Now I am going to explain the next verse in John chapter number 14. Verse number 26. That is what we are going to see. Every sentence I am going to explain the meaning of it. John chapter number 14, verse number 26. Now hear out this verse. But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will what? Teach you all things. That I will park it for a later part. Teach you all things. All things. What all things? I will park it for a later part, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. That is another thing. Bring to your remembrance, reminding of doctrines. Let me park it for a later part. But this helper, the Holy Spirit, will come and he will help you. What he will help you? Oh, you know, I want to become rich, Holy Spirit. You know, make me rich, Holy Spirit. No, he will not help you in that. He has assignments for you. He has a will for you. That is the will of God. And in the context of that will, in the circle and the limitation of that assignment that he has received from God for you, he will help you in that circle. He becomes a helper for you in that context, not to fulfill our own desires, but in the context of God's plan, God's will, and God's the things of God. And the way he will help you, listen to me, He will help you by manifesting himself as the spirit of grace and truth. And write it down. The Holy Spirit becomes a helper and helps you by manifesting as what? As the spirit of grace and truth. As the spirit of grace and truth. Now Jesus describes him and introduces him as the spirit of truth because he is introducing him as the teacher to the disciples. But there is the first dimension of the Holy Spirit called the grace. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. There are two dimensions through which he helps the blood-washed Christians by manifesting as what? The spirit of grace and the spirit of truth. Let me show you a verse from the Bible, John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1, verse number 14 to 16. John chapter number 1, verse number 14 to 16. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. That is the meaning, full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of what? Grace and truth. That is the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Spirit. John bore witness, verse number 15. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." And of his fullness we all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Underline that, very, very important. Grace and truth is the helper that will help you. Do you want to receive help from the Holy Spirit tonight? Grace and truth, the spirit of grace and truth is the Holy Spirit. He manifests himself as the spirit of grace and truth. And Jesus was filled with what? Grace and truth. The Bible says the law came through Moses, but what came through Jesus? Grace and truth. So this Holy Spirit I'm talking about, he helps us by manifesting as the spirit of grace and the spirit of truth. Are we clear on that? Let's go ahead. Let's see the Holy Spirit, the helper. The helper as the spirit of grace. As the spirit of grace. What? Now, I will cover the spirit of grace and the spirit of truth. What help that does he offers to us as the spirit of grace? There are four helps that he offers to us as the spirit of grace. And there are five helps. There are actually four helps that he offers to us as the spirit of truth. And the fifth help is his way of offering truth to us. So let's now cover the spirit of grace. Everyone say, "The Holy Spirit is my helper." Confess that. The Holy Spirit is my helper. Remove your mute and say, "The Holy Spirit is my helper."
It's my helper. The Holy Spirit is my helper.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit is my helper.
Amen. Amen. Yes. Amen. The first dimension, the help that he offers to you is by manifesting himself as grace, the spirit of grace. So what will he help you by manifesting as the spirit of grace? The spirit of grace, first help. The spirit of grace will help you overcome sin, as the spirit of grace is more powerful and higher than the strength of sin. The Holy Spirit, do you believe that? That is, I will show you from the scripture. I will show you that. The spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, the helper, I am talking about him. He is more powerful than the power of sin and death and sickness. Very powerful. And this spirit of grace helps us to do what? To dominate and to keep sin, death, sickness under our feet. The spirit of grace. Let's go to Romans chapter number 6, verse 14. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? For you are not under law, but under grace. Sin shall not, everyone confess that word, don't remove your mute, say that. Sin shall not have dominion over me because I am not under law, but under grace, the spirit of grace. The power, the authority, the hand of the Holy Spirit, that is the spirit of grace over you, makes you a person on whom sin cannot have dominion, because the spirit of grace is more powerful than the strength and the power of sin. Hallelujah. Let me take you to another verse. Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. My favorite verse. Romans chapter number 5. Many misinterpret this verse, but let me tell you the meaning of the verse. Romans chapter number 5, verse number 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Hallelujah. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I think I don't even have to explain it, because the people of God are coming to the revelation by the Holy Spirit of this verse. Where sin is, what does the Bible says? Grace abounds much more to defeat sin. To defeat sin. If you have this personality whom I am talking about, my Holy Spirit, as your helper manifesting as the spirit of grace, you will not sin. The Bible says whoever sins is of the devil. Children of God, do not sin. How can that happen? It's impossible for Christians nowadays, because they don't know the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of grace who offers them help to have sin, no dominion over their lives. The Spirit of grace is more powerful than sin. The more the temptations you get, the more the Spirit of grace will give you power to overcome every temptation and to eliminate sin, rebuke sin from your life. And that Spirit of grace operates through righteousness. What is righteousness? The one who is walking in the Word of God, in the ways of God, that Spirit of grace gives the Holy Spirit, becomes a helper, and gives that person power to defeat sin. Power to defeat sin. Hallelujah. Even if the devil brings temptations of lust, of alcohol, of all your old habits, of 10 beautiful girls standing in front of you naked, and all those things, if you have the spirit of grace, lust and addiction and whatever sins will not enter you, because the spirit of grace abounds more when sin abounds. Hallelujah. Where sin is, what is the Bible says? Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. The spirit of grace is to empower a Christian, a Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of grace, to empower a Christian to live above the realm of sin, darkness, death, and sickness in the realms of the spirit. To walk in holiness, in consecration, and in sanctification. That will only happen when you understand the helper as the spirit of grace. That is the first help that he will offer to you. Hallelujah. I am telling you in Jesus' name, it's impossible for a child of God to fall into depression. It's impossible for a child of God to fall into addiction, to fall into adultery, to fall into fornication, because the spirit of grace helps us to overcome every sin. The spirit of grace. The Lord wants you to live a life that is high above what you are living now. Reject the morning, every morning you get up, you know what you need to say? Lord, I don't receive this substandard Christian life that I am living. Take me higher, Lord. Take me higher. I want to live in power. I want to live in the spirit. I want to live in the realm that is above the realm of sin and death. The spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Amen. The spirit of grace. That is the first help that the spirit of grace offers. Another verse for that. to overcome sin because it's more powerful than the strength and the power of sin. Another verse, Romans chapter number 8. Another word for the spirit of grace. Another description for the spirit of grace I want to give you from the book of Romans chapter number 8, verse number 2. Verse number 2. Romans 8, verse number 2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Underline the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Underline that whole word. That is the spirit of grace, elaborated by Apostle Paul to explain it to the church and the Jewish people in Rome. What is the spirit of grace also called? The spirit of grace is also called the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Means the spirit of grace encapsulates you with Jesus all around you. The spirit of grace encapsulates you like he hides you inside of Jesus, that there is Jesus all around you. That is what Apostle Paul is saying. He's not teaching. That verse is a testimony of his own life. And he is saying, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that is the spirit of grace, has made me free from the law of sin and death. So he defines, Apostle Paul came to the conclusion that the spirit of grace can be defined as the law of the spirit of life inside of Christ Jesus, covered with Christ, hidden with Christ. My God, grace covers you. Can you imagine that? Grace covers you from all around, covers you. Amen. That is the spirit of grace that helps you to overcome, to have sin not having dominion over your life. The spirit of grace. The reason why Christians are defeated by addictions, defeated by alcohol, by smoking, by adultery, by fornication, by all other sins, love of money, greed, murders, envy, and all those things, because they don't know the Holy Spirit. They don't know the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, and they have not received the help of the Holy Spirit as the spirit of grace. If the spirit of grace will help you to live a life exactly as Jesus lived a life on the earth. Spirit of grace, it's possible. It's possible. Whenever it comes to my mind, no, it's not possible. No preacher talked about it, Rahul. No, it's not possible. No pastor told you or taught you about this. But I say no, I reject that lie. It's possible because the spirit of grace can make me. Do you have, people of God here, do you have a hunger tonight to rise high above the level in which you are living? Oh God, hallelujah. The spirit of grace, hallelujah. Let me go to the second help that the spirit of grace offers. The second help is the spirit of grace gives unmerited favor. That is the word for grace, we know. Let me go into detail. What? The spirit of grace gives you favor that you don't deserve, unmerited favor, and especially to the humble. To the humble. Let's go to, this is the second help that the spirit of grace offers believers, gives to believer. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 5. Thank you, Lord. 1 Peter chapter number 5, verse number 5 and 6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. That grace is in context of helping you in the things that you don't have the ability to complete or to do. Hallelujah. Gives grace to who? He resists the proud, but the spirit of grace manifests to those who are who? Humble. Humble not only under the authority of God, but humble also under the authority of men who are given to them by God. That is the context of Peter teaching the church. Humble even to the leader, the person, the pastor who has been ordained by God to be a voice unto them. And indirectly, directly humble to God, humble to God. Verse number 6, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Nowadays, the fashion and the trend in Christianity and Christians have changed. I see 90% of Christians, a little problem, a little wind shakes them, and they start, why, God, why? I prayed. I did this, I did that. That day, a lady called me who was not in contact with me from 2 years, and she called me, Brother Rahul. I said, what? How are you? I am fine. But you gave the prophecy, it is not yet fulfilled. I said, wait a minute, my prophecy is not a magic wand that will automatically get fulfilled. What were you doing from so many years? Where were you? Hallelujah. That is not humility. That is not humility before God. Hallelujah. You are asking questions. Once things were not going right in my life. And then I started to say, God, I am doing this, I am doing that. But why, Lord? Why? The things are not happening. Lord, please speak to me. And the Holy Spirit told me, have you forgotten the times you skipped your prayer? Have you forgotten the times, so many times you did not read the word of God, you skipped it, but still God was faithful to you? Have you forgotten how God is good to you? From that day, I never asked, because I understood that when we complain against God, when we ask him questions, we are looking at our own works and the works of ourselves. We are not seeing the blunder that we have done in our life and from which we were saved by him. A humble man will never ask a why or what to God. A humble man. Yes, I never asked. Whatever happens, Lord, I know even the things are happening, even if bad things are happening, I don't even deserve that. I deserve worse. But thank God that I am at this level as of now, because you are a God who has given me more than I deserve. I know that, Lord. Humility before God. Hallelujah. Submission. Humility is complete and absolute submission to a person. That is humility. Absolute submission with no questions asked. I'm not talking about oh brother, you are talking about a military rule. No, I am not talking about a military rule. God is not will not use rod to forcefully make you submit. He wants by your will, by the act of your will, to submit to him so that he can offer grace in that situation. The spirit of grace can, when you do that, the time from your heart. You humble yourself before God. And God, Lord, I'm going through it. I have done all things possible, but things are not changing. But you know what, Lord? I still want to praise you. I know I deserve worse than this, but thank you that you have given me at least this. I humble myself to you and I pray that, Lord, you will give me the grace to overcome. When you pray that prayer, the spirit of grace will manifest and make you able to do things that you are not able to do. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. The devil destroyed my education when I was a teenage boy. I was doing well in the school, but when I went into the college after passing the 10th grade year in India, when I went to the college, the devil destroyed my life, and I giving into temptations. Never used to sit in the college classes, used to skip, and I, a person who used to bring good marks, good grades, when I went into the college, all the grades dropped down. I was not even able to complete my graduation and all those things. But at the age of 19, when I was in the Navy College, in the Merchant Navy, Jesus encountered me. Jesus encountered me. Hallelujah. And after he encountered me, I left my studies. I did not graduate. I said, Lord, you know, I want to serve you, whatever. And from that day, I went to the church early morning and started to arrange chairs and all. That is the job I did for the kingdom of God. For around 5 years, I did that job without having a stage. 5 years, I arranged chairs, I arranged speakers, I arranged the mics for the choir. Never gave me stage, but I consistently did that job. Hallelujah. Now there were debts in my family at that time. And I thought, Lord, I am not even a graduate. How will I get a job? I got a job and I was earning within 9 months, they promoted me. People were not getting promoted in that job from that, but that is not the testimony. Wait. Within 9 months, they promoted me and they increased my salary a little bit, 5%. And they promoted me there. But after they promoted me, you know what God said? Go and find a new job. But I got promotion. Go and find a new job, he said. I resigned and they were forcing me. Don't resign, don't. But I resigned. I obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I started to find a job. I saw my email that day and I saw a job description. And they told me, we have vacancy, so you come. So I did not read it fully. So I jumped out of my chair and went to that place. Took the train, went to that place. And I went and sat in that place, in the interview room. 50 people were sitting with me. And they said, okay, the HR came and said, the first test is the aptitude test. So everyone go to the computers, give the aptitude test. I opened the test. There were 10 to 15 questions in the test. None of the questions, none of the answers I knew. So I fluked all the answer. The test had a time limit. I did not even complete 15 questions. I completed 4 questions and the timer got over. I said, I am going out now. I am not going to pass this interview. I am going out. And then I sat in the room, all of us, 50, 40, 50 of us. The HR came and told, she took 5 names. Okay. One of the names, she called out my name. I packed my bag and I stood up to go and leave the office. I thought these 5 people are being thrown out now. We are thrown out. And I said, okay, these 5 people come and stand here. And I was packing my bag and going, where are you going? I said, we have been, you know, rejected in this round. No, you are not rejected. You 5 are selected. And rest of you go. And then before that happened, the HR came and told, how many of you are MBAs? Every one of them raised their hands. They were all MBAs, postgraduates. Every one of them raised their hands. Then she said, how many of you are graduates? Only one person raised hand. I said, no one is an undergraduate. No one is even a graduate. So I asked a person and he told me, they are interviewing and taking only the MBAs, the postgraduates. From that time, I knew that I'm not going to get this job. But the first round happened and I was selected in the 5 people. I was selected in the 5 people. And then I went, the second round happened. The third round happened. And the third round was a case study. I don't know. They gave books of MBA calculations. I did not know anything. I fluked everything. And at last, only 3 or 4 people were remaining. And at the evening, the HR came and said, who is Rahul? I again packed my bag to leave. She said, why are you leaving? You only are selected out of the 50 people who were postgraduates. An undergraduate was selected. The spirit of grace. The spirit of grace. That is what happened with me. I'm telling you, that time I was struggling with finances. Every day I used to tell the Lord, Lord, you know, I am the one who has messed up. Please, could you help me? Holy Spirit, could you help me? Could you help me? And they offered me a salary that was 400% hike of my last salary. They offered me a salary that was 400% higher. A salary that a expert MBA receives. That was the salary they gave to me. On top of that, just within 6 months, they again doubled my salary. So my salary in just in 1 year, my salary, not double, 10 times of the salary that I used to receive, I received just in the course of 1 year. The spirit of grace. The spirit of grace. People don't understand that the humble receive the spirit of grace. You keep on questioning God, you stay in the situation where you are in. You keep on complaining against God, grumbling, growling, questioning the authority, accuse the pastors, accuse the prophets. Be in the situation where you are in. You are not going to receive grace. The spirit of grace enables you. It is just not your work. You are being given something you don't even deserve. You don't even deserve. Hallelujah. Can I have an hallelujah, people? Remove your mute, say hallelujah. The spirit of grace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. The Holy Spirit, the helper, he can help you. He can help you. He will. He is your helper. And he can help you to make you stand and work in places where you don't deserve to work. You don't even have the qualification to work there. He can enable you. He can give you the unmerited favor. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. 1 Corinthians, another verse now. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. First Corinthians chapter number 15, verse number 9 and 10. Another word for the help that he offers to give us favor. Verse number 9 and 10, for I am the least, Paul writing here, verse number 9, I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, by the grace of God, the spirit of grace, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. He is coming to the understanding. You know, Apostle Paul, even the other apostles accepted the fact that he labored a lot. But the point that Apostle Paul is making here is the labor also that I did, which was more than them, it was not me. The spirit of grace enabling me to labor like that. The spirit of grace. If you have the spirit of grace, you will work and you will not get tired, because you are not working by your strength. You are working by his grace. That is the help the Holy Spirit offers. He is so wonderful, my Holy Spirit. The grace that he gives us. Hallelujah. There will be no tiredness. There will be no weariness. And Apostle Paul is saying, I was the least of the apostles. You know why? Because I was given the apostleship untimely. I was not even there with the apostles. When they were ministering, I was persecuting the church. I was working against them. What kind of a sinner I am? But the spirit of grace made me who I am. Amen, amen, amen. Whatever is your background, whatever you did against the Lord, but if you humble yourself, the spirit of grace can elevate you, can give you unmerited favor. Amen. Can give you unmerited favor, the spirit of grace. So he was a persecutor. The apostles were preaching and ministering. At that time, he was persecuting people. He was pulling out people, Christians, from their home and, giving them in the prisons and all those things. And he said, I was not even eligible, but the grace, the spirit of grace enabled me. Amen. Why Apostle Paul became like that was because he humbled himself to God and received help from the spirit of grace. That is why. The more you say, Lord, I cannot do it. Lord, you know, whatever I am going through, I deserve it. But Lord, may you help me. May you have mercy on me. May you give me the grace. He will give you the grace. He will give you the grace when he sees humility in you. That is the second thing. Amen. Hallelujah. He will give you the grace when he sees humility in you. The spirit of grace will start to give you unmerited favor. He will enable you to do things which are beyond your ability, beyond your intelligence. He will give you the grace to do all those things. You can be a college dropout, but if you humble yourself and give yourself to the spirit of grace, you will start teaching the Bible in a way that the intellectual cannot teach it because you are been enabled by the Holy Spirit to do it. Are we understanding people of God? Yes. When the Holy Spirit starts to help you as the Spirit of grace, no limitation, no background check, no qualification check. That is why the people said, oh, this man, we know from where he came. He is a carpenter's son. He never went to a school, but how can this man speak like this? Didn't they said that about Jesus? Yes, they said. How could Jesus teach like that? The Spirit of grace. He was full of grace and truth. People will understand this person cannot do all those things. There is a spirit that is helping him. People would know that. Hallelujah. It's beyond our ability. Spirit of grace that gives us unmerited favor. Amen. Then the third help that the Holy Spirit offers as the Spirit of grace is salvation. Salvation is impossible without what? The Spirit of grace. It's impossible. Let's see in the scripture. Ephesians chapter number 2. Let's go to the book of Ephesians chapter number 2. And verse number 8. Ephesians 2 verse number 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. You're saved by what? By grace you have been saved. By faith, by your confession. When you believed. Hallelujah. In this Jesus that was unseen. By faith you believed. Yes, I believe the message that I heard. He died for me on the cross. When that faith was applied, grace came in to save you. Amen. By what? Grace. You have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works that lest anyone should boast about. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, brings salvation to people. How does he bring salvation to people? That is the question. Let's see 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse number 3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. So we cannot accept Jesus unless the Spirit of grace witnesses Jesus in our heart. The reason I accepted Jesus as my Lord, because the Spirit of grace enabled me to accept Jesus. No one by the Spirit. Without the Spirit, without the Holy Spirit, no one can receive Jesus. No one can confess that Jesus is Lord. That is the work of the Spirit of grace. He is the one that brought salvation, grace. That's why it's, you know, because tomorrow in front of God, they can say, oh, you know, because I gave so much, say so much to the kingdom, or because I preached the gospel, because I did so many good things in my own religion, in my Hindu religion, and I gave so much in the temple of the Hindu temple, and I was a good person, that's why Jesus saved me. They cannot say that. Not of works that anyone can boast about. They cannot say that. Because you are not deserving of salvation. Grace made you to confess Jesus and for you to be saved, the Spirit of grace. How many of you understand that you were not deserving of salvation, but it was the love of God that released the grace of God that saved us? Amen. That no one should boast about their good works. I was a good Muslim, so today I got saved. No, you were not at all good. You were bad. Only because you put your faith in Jesus, the by grace, and you did not even confess Jesus by your own works. You confessed Jesus because a Spirit of grace enabled you to confess Jesus and make the salvation prayer. Do we understand that? The third help that the Spirit of grace offers is what? Salvation. He brings salvation. Another verse for that, Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter number 2. Let's go there. Chapter number 2, verse number 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. What brings salvation? The grace of God, the Spirit of grace that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That is the Spirit of truth part. The verse number 12, teaching part is the Spirit of truth. The grace part, the salvation part is the Spirit of grace. Okay, so are we together until now? So this is how. So the first thing I told you, the Spirit of grace, the help of the Holy Spirit helps you to overcome sin. Second thing I told you, unmerited favor that you don't deserve. The third thing I told you, it brings salvation. Hallelujah, the Spirit of grace. The fourth help that the Spirit of grace offers to us. The Spirit of grace helps us and gives us power and strength to go through trials and weaknesses. Hallelujah. When we suffer, when we are in trial, when we are weak, the Spirit of God helps us in our what? Weaknesses. In our weaknesses. Let's go and see that verse in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse number 8 and 9. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in what? In weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Spirit of grace gives power to those who are weak. The Spirit of grace manifests itself when your flesh dies and becomes weak. When physically and in the strength of your determination and in your human mind, you are not able to do things, the Spirit of grace comes and gives you power to go through situations. Hallelujah. How wonderful is that? Now, Apostle Paul, I told you what is the thorn in the flesh. I have already taught about it. It was the problem in the eyes. I gave you scriptures. I explained you everything. So I'm not going to go into that. Apostle Paul was being bothered with the thorn in the flesh. And he had such authority with God. He asked God 3 times, but God did not took away the thorn. He kept the thorn. But what God did was, God gave him and offered him the Spirit of grace, the help from the helper who strengthened him to persevere. The Spirit of grace gave him the inner strength to go through what he was supposed to go through. Amen. Amen. Many times we want to run away from the problem. We want to get out of the situation. But God says, no, I will keep you there. But what I will give you is my Holy Spirit, who will help you by offering you grace to go through that trial, to go through that suffering, to go through that tribulation. You will not die there. Nothing will happen to you. You will receive strength. And then Apostle Paul recognized by this revelation that when he is weak, the power that grace gives him is more strong. The more the devil attacks you, the more grace will come to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, people, your eye. Hallelujah. People here are not, you know, at receiving the word. Some of them are, but hallelujah. The more the devil attacks you, the more you got get hurted physically, the more you are suffering, the more the Spirit of grace will manifest power in your life, because the Spirit of grace will manifest its power more and more when you become weaker and weaker. You will come to a point where you will start to lose strength of your flesh, and you will start to understand the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the Spirit of grace. The Spirit of grace. Amen. Whatever you have, thorn, thistles, knives in your body, or whatever you have, I'm telling you, you will not die. You will become more powerful in that situation. The sermons that I have preached, it has come from the times when I was terribly weak and in distress. The Spirit of grace started to work in my spirit and give me revelations when I was in the valleys of the shadows of death. Hallelujah. When demonic spirits wanted to kill me, surrounded me, Jezebel's intention was clear to take me out. In those situations, when I was completely weak, the Spirit of grace brought out messages from my life, enabled me to preach the messages. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The best sermon that will come out of you is in your darkest situation, because the Spirit of grace will empower you there when you are the weakest in your flesh. There is a reason why God allows trials, why God allows thorns in our flesh, why God allows such things. There is a reason, because He wants you to experience the power and the help that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace, offers to you. Let me end here. That is the Spirit of truth, but it's a very large topic. But the Spirit of grace, hallelujah. Tonight, are you weeping? Are you suffering? Are you confused? Hallelujah. Are you confused and don't know what to do? The Holy Spirit, the helper, can help you. Holy Spirit, the helper, can help you. That is what I want to say to you. He can manifest to you as the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of truth that we will cover next Friday. But the Spirit of grace that I taught, oh my God. Don't think if you are weak, the devil will kill you. No, 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 no. When you are weak, you will destroy the devil, because the Spirit of grace will manifest power to you. When Apostle Paul said, after that thorn was not going away, I realized that his power of grace works greatest in me when I am in my weaknesses. Have you realized that, believer? Have you realized that, child of God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a God who, you know, like the climax scene, he turns the table at the last moment when his children seem to get defeated. At the last moment, everything he turns. The devil could watch over you and say, oh, I have accomplished my mission. Now this person is going to die. I have ended this person. He does not know that the last moment, when you are weak, the Spirit of grace will make you a lion. The Spirit of grace will give you power to turn the tables. The Spirit of grace, his power works greatest in me when I am weak. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. And that's why Apostle Paul says, I thank God for the weaknesses. I thank God for the suffering. I thank God for the insults. I thank God for the persecution, because I see grace working more in me. Grace working more in me. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Let us thank God. The Lord, the presence of the Lord is mighty in this place. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is mighty in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you in some addiction? Are you in some secret sins that you are not able to give up? The Spirit of grace, He is the helper. Hallelujah. Believe in the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, which will enable you to rise high from the realms of sin and darkness. He is more powerful than sin. Yes, the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He is your He is your, my Holy Spirit is your, oh God, to release people from bondages of sin and sicknesses. In Jesus' name, the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Even as you believe and receive this word, you shall break away from sin, because sin shall not have any dominion over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, even as I have taught your people and you enabled me to teach about the Spirit of grace. Oh Lord, I pray that you will manifest through this word in the lives of your people, and their lives will be elevated, their lives will transform. No longer that hanky-panky Christian life, no longer that substandard Christian life, Lord. Raise them high, Lord. Lord, to walk in holiness, consecration, power, to walk in the supernatural, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Even though they are weak, Lord, but they will receive power in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Come on, raise our hands and welcome him. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Spirit of grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just want to thank you. Where I would have been, oh my Holy Spirit, if you did not extend your grace towards me. Hallelujah. Everything that I am, because you helped me manifesting as the Spirit of grace. And I pray and I humble myself before you that you will continue to do so in my life. And Lord, in the lives of this people, Lord, especially, that they will receive the Spirit of grace. Jesus, full of grace and truth. Beautiful Jesus, full of grace and truth. And thank you, thank you, thank you, O Lord, that Lord, you are changing lives tonight. Hallelujah. You are changing lives tonight. Veils are coming off from the eyes of people tonight. Hallelujah. Oh Jesus, hallelujah, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord. Thank you, Jesus, hallelujah. Rabano sabana rabandriyanta rabba. Hallelujah. God is doing mighty deliverance in this place right now. He is rooting out demonic trees from fat roots, are being rooted out from the lives of people. The Spirit of grace is just laying holds of some plantations in your life. And even as you surrender to the Lord, he is rooting it out, taking it out from the roots. Yes. Yes. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Reyamam prone tere sakataraba. Demonic radars are been broken. Demonic satellites are been broken. Hallelujah. That kept you in hold and bondage. The Spirit of grace is delivering you. The Spirit of grace is bringing you out, even though you don't deserve, but he is doing that because he is grace. Hallelujah. 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 Father, I want to thank you for your wonderful presence. For this presence, I pray, even if as people leave the meeting, but they will carry the presence, indwelling presence, your fellowship 24/7, Lord, that they will talk with you, Holy Spirit. They will start to know you and build up that relationship with you, O Spirit of grace and truth. Hallelujah, that their lives will change in Jesus' mighty name. Father, once again, we want to thank you for this wonderful time, Lord. I cover all of us with the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence. Let us continue in the presence. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us clap our hands. Let us remove our mute. Shout amen. Celebrate the Holy Spirit. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. And the service has not ended. Let us, even as we have come and received from the Lord,